I want to introduce, I have a very honored to introduce our speaker today, Pastor Oscar. He's one of my favorites that I love. Whenever he comes to visit and speak, he always brings a great message. So would you guys just welcome him up today?
Praise the Lord. It's good to see you again. I have a fellowship and a relationship with the house here, with many of you guys, and it's been a blessing to from time to time get to see you, and we have a shared history with many of you, and so I am blessed beyond measure today to be in the house of God and meeting some of you guys anew. And so my work, as you may know, is in the mission field. I spend my life, all my adult life in the mission field. It's been quite a ride. It's been powerful in the many countries where God has blessed us to serve. But today, I want to jump right into the scriptures, if you allow me to. I want to get in there. I feel like the worship team set the table already, so I don't want to. I want to move right in. I feel the spirit there, so I'll tell you mission stories at a different time, okay? Let's get into the passages. And I want to talk to you about the great revivals of the Bible. They are apart from Jesus and the apostles in the Old Testament. There are certain things that surround those revivals and what they are supposed to mean in the Old Testament. There were actually some revivals that were alert and awake. There were great men who the Lord used to usher revivals. And obviously, in a short period of time, as I am here, I will not be able to develop that in a great fashion. I have mentioned some of this to you, but it has been heavy in my heart to kind of complete it. And so I want to look at some of these revivals and how they happen. And I want to look at a commonality of one thing. I know for a fact that I can go all over the place, but I can actually, cause you to remember one thing. I'm going to look at the first step that they took to usher revival. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. And I'm going to need you to be in the Bible with me today. I know that the tendency of believers in the whole world is that right about now you're going to put your mind in cruise control. I grew up in church. I'm a pastor's kid. I know all the tricks that exist. Done them all myself, so I just want to ask you to stay with me for a little bit, and let's jump into something here. 1 Kings chapter 15, there is a king named Asa here. Chapter 15 and verse 11. 1 Kings 15 and verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. See, he has started a revival. And what he did was begin to attack immorality and sodomy and all these other things. He felt compelled to do these things. And he had gone through the whole land to erase these things from the promised land. And here in verse 13, there is something else that happens. Listen to this. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol. And here is the key. And burned it by the brook Kidron. I want you to remember that, because that is where we left it. Burn it by the brook Kidron. That is going to be what happened in the days of Asa. When he looked at this idol that his mother had made, and he brought it over to the brook Kidron. He burned it there. and they will throw the ashes in there. Now, let's look at another guy who did this. How about if we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 2 Chronicles 29. By the way, when Asa did this of burning this idol at the Brook Kidron, revival broke out. It started right by that brook. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, this will be another king that will experience this. 2 Chronicles 29 verse 16. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord. I'm in 2 Chronicles 29, 16. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they have found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it abroad into the Brook Kidron. You see that again? They took all these idols and religious artifacts that did not had nothing to do with God, the God of heaven, and they brought them to the Brook Kidron. Verse 17, now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in the eighth day. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah, the king. This is the king that brought that revival. And said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord. And the altar burnt offering with all the vessels thereof. And the showbread and with all the vessels. So they started that revival. Verse 13 of chapter 30. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 13. We are with the same king. King Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 13. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of the unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars, for instance, took they away and cast them into the Brook Kidron. There it is again. Verse 15, then they killed the Passover of the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought it a burnt offering unto the house of the Lord. They had not been celebrating the Passover. And this that they did at the Brook Kidron opened up that door and they began to celebrate the Passover. So King Hezekiah goes in the scriptures twice to that place. Now go into 2 Kings chapter 23 verse 11. Now don't worry, I won't preach out of all the scriptures. But I know that these are not very well-known scriptures. Some of you will be very familiar with them. Some of you will not. But let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings 23. And what we're going to find there is another king, King Josiah. So we had King Asa, and then we got King Hezekiah. And now we got King Josiah. King Josiah is going to have something like this also happen in his life and ministry. 23 verse 4. And the king of 2 Kings. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order. And the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. And for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. There it is again. And carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Verse 6. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the Brook Kidron. He went again and burned it at the Brook Kidron and stamped it small to potter and cast the potter thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Verse 12. And the altars that were on top of the upper chambers of Ahaz, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them unto the Brook Kidron. Three times did King Josiah went to that place, and revival broke out. Let me do one more. How about if we go over to 2 Samuel chapter 15? 2 Samuel chapter 15. There we will find a mighty man of God named David. But this is a low point in his life. He's struggling. His son, Absalom, is trying to kill him, and he is running away. And here we find him in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And David said unto Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. Verse 23, and all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Verse 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olive and wept as he went up. That Mount Olive is Mount Olive. And had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that were with him covered every man his head, and they went up, weeping as they went up. Verse 32 will tell you that he went there to worship on top of Mount Olive. Let's pray. Father, we worship you right now, and we ask you to give us the ability to deliver this word for your people. Answer, O God, by fire. Answer by the Holy Spirit. Answer so that we will run to you in Jesus' name. Amen. David is the last one that I read about, but I want to start with him. And I want to finish with him there. I need somebody to mark me 20 minutes. I'm going to use 20 minutes. Who's going to be my clock? You're going to be my clock. Okay. Make faces at me, okay? Just wave at me. Do something. I told this to some lady one time, and she forgot 2 hours later. I said, that's the longest 20 minutes I've ever had. She said, I'm sorry, I forgot I got into the sermon. That's not a problem. I also had a translator that kept doing that to me. We were preaching, and she got really excited. So I will be preaching. There were, a couple thousand pastors in a pastor's conference. I was going at it, and she all of a sudden started picking in tongues and go off and start jumping up and down over there. I said, I'm glad the Spirit's falling on you, but come back. I need the translator. So she did come back. She did it to me 3 times in the sermon. I had to stop and wait for her. It was wonderful, but I needed her to be here. And her husband got the clue. He's like, okay. So he came and sat right there. And whenever she got excited and left, all of a sudden, he would get up and start translating. And I said, okay, something happened. And then I'll come back, and she will come back from whatever she was, and he'll go and sit down. I said, we still got it done. So praise the Lord. 20 minutes. Let's jump in here. The great revivals of all. The Old Testament tells you what the first step of every revival in the Old Testament was. There were four great revivals that happened in the Old Testament. Led by godly kings. King Asa, King Hezekiah, King Josiah, King David. Men of God, flawed, raw, at times struggling with their walk, but yet in love with God. They loved him. If you start with King Asa, you will look at him. The Lord got a hold of him, and he began to go after immorality. The Sodomites were in his view, and he attacked. He attacked everything that had to do with idolatry. And yet something was missing, something deep. What was missing? Well, every time he went to attack, every time he went to some ghetto or some high place where people were having orgies and struggles. Every time he struggled against idolatry and against false doctrines, every time that he did, he came home. And whenever he came home, he had not noticed something deeply disturbing. In his own palace, his mother, named Maaka, she's actually a grandmother, but a mother, the queen, had an idol at home. How disturbing it is to be the one who points fingers and say, woe to the Sodomites and woe to these other ones and the wrong doctrine guy, and come to sleep right beside an idol. You get so accustomed to it, you don't even notice it. As you preach to everyone what is going on at home. I wonder what the congregations thought when he was doing all of that. I wish he would start at home. Until one day his light came out and he realized, I can't be telling all these guys to do this and that and that and that until I actually look in my own house and realize we got a problem. No. It's because we preachers are excellent at pointing fingers. And at times we are pointing fingers at things that we have at home. Everybody can tell except us. You look at it in Isaiah, five chapters, Isaiah said, woe to the Philistines, and woe to the Ammonites, and woe to the Moabites, until he found the glory of God in chapter 6 of Isaiah. And he says, woe is me. Whenever you know that you have seen his glory, you stop looking at your neighbor, you look at yourself. For my judgment begins in my house, saith the Lord. I will glorify upon those who are closest to me. King Asa could not get revival going while he was doing all of these things until he came home one day and he said, look at this idol. What is this idol doing here? I've been going through the whole nation cleaning up and I got it at home. And the Bible says he took it, the idol. I'm pretty sure the mom wasn't too happy about that. But he grabbed it and took it by a place called Kidron. And he burned it. And when he burned it into these ashes, into the water, something deep happened that day with all of them. God had come and begun the process of touching the nation. Revival broke out in the whole place. Asa realized that revival does not start in some foreign land with some foreign missionary. That it does not start in a skid row or with the ones who are struggling with the glaring sin that we know. It starts in the house of God, specifically in my own house. Revival does not start by me convincing the one who's a sinner. Revival starts because I bow before the Lord and he touches me. That day, the whole place went crazy. And revival started in every place that he knew. And he did not even need to go visit them. Everyone felt the fire of God upon them. Revival started with Asa because he started in his house. And then that generation went away. And as it happens, Israel started messing up again. And another king rose up, King Hezekiah. A young man. He did the same. He looked around and he said, we can't be this way. We have to go after God. And the Holy Spirit moves upon him and we read it. He goes and grabs all the idols and altars and all these things dedicated to foreign gods. And he goes to the brook Kidron and burns them and burns everything and throws them in those ashes. He does it again with all the stuff that he found in the rest of the nation and grabbed them in Jerusalem and brought them and burned them by the brook Kidron and cut them loose. Then he looked up and he said, let's celebrate Passover. And as these things were happening, revival broke out again. It was the Brook Kidron, the common denominator, as the first step. It isn't the high mountain or a great crusade. It isn't the great movements of healing and prophecies. That first step was at the Brook Kidron. Listen, the Brook Kidron is not popular because it's not a good name. It means dark. It means place of ashes. Before they had to go up a mountain, they had to go down a valley. It was right outside of Jerusalem, right outside of the Eastern Gate. And you walk up to there and you see that brook. And right there was where the revivals broke out. It wasn't some precious thing with some pastor's conference. It was a dark place where you went to throw the ashes. Why wasn't? I'm going to go ahead of myself, but I got to tell you why it has to start there. Because it was the very representation of Christ at the cross. It was the very idea that it wasn't a celebration that day. When Jesus was upon the cross, there were tears, there were brokenness, there were all kinds of things. The only ones celebrating were in hell. But I got to tell you something. At the third day, he resurrected and he brought the ultimate revival upon the earth. That is why that is so powerful. The brook represented his blood. Not just to take away the sin of men in general, but also the constant repentance of the church. Revival broke out in days of Hezekiah. Fast forward, generations later, comes Josiah, one of the greatest kings of all. And he goes to that brook also 3 times. He doesn't stop at Jerusalem or the temple. He goes to all of Judah. And after he goes to all of Judah, he goes to the next country named Israel, the northern kingdom. And he does it there too. And every time he gathered a bunch of those idols, he came down to the Brook Kidron and burned them. And revival broke out again. You see the commonality? If my people who are called by my name, you remember that passage, will humble themselves, repent and be in his presence, I will hear from heaven. I will touch them. I will bless them. So far, I got those 3 revivals in a powerful way. But where did they get that idea from? Obviously, it was the Holy Spirit. But they got it from David. David. We read it. See, when David was overwhelmed by the struggle of his own son trying to kill him. I don't know who here has had a child to tell you, I hate you. But it's got to be one of the worst daggers that can go into the heart of a father or a mother. That one which you change the diapers to. That one which you spend all the nights with all the dreams and the visions that you've had for him, for her. And they hate you. Not only that. That boy was trying to kill him. And it is in this overwhelmed stage that David looks in the direction where he's going to go. Listen to this. He looks to the river called the Brook Kidron. He is not going to go with things to lay down right there. That's not what he's doing. He's going to go with himself. The people will follow him, all of them, all of the ones who were on his side. They took off their shoes. He was a sign of humbleness. They covered their head. They stood in the middle of that river and they started crying. A whole nation was weeping. Crying out loud as David was crying. Broken beyond broken. What was David doing? He was doing what all the other kings that I just told you. He was coming to the brook with a broken heart and a repentant spirit. He had brought this upon the nation. He had done that deal with Bathsheba in chapter 11. He had killed Uriah, and God had said there will be a sword in your family always. He knew that boy was responsible for his own sin, but he knew, I opened that door. And he didn't come to lay down ashes of some idols. He came with all of the people that were with him to lay himself down at the feet of Christ, at the feet of God. Can you imagine all that water hitting his feet, barefooted, hitting the feet of all of those guys? There were children there, the Bible says it. There were women and men, the Bible says it. And the whole nation was crying in the presence of God, what have we done? We need you today more than ever. Try to stay with me as he goes up. He's going up something called Mount Olive. It was a precursor. It was before Christ went up that same mountain. David did. He went up there with tears, carrying his own sin and the sin of all these people as they had sinned against God. No. He's not a supernatural being. He can't carry the sin of people. But he's being a typology. He goes up to that mountain, and the Bible says, in the middle of that agony, he worshiped God. He was saying, God, cleanse us. Move us, break us, mold us, change us. In fact, go with me to one last passage. I got to find a way to convince you. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And verse 1. Listen to what he says. This is right after the meal that they had eaten. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples. Listen to where he went. Over the brook Cedron, which is Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Listen to what he did. Jesus now. There was one who was not there anymore. He had gone over. He was the betrayer, Judas. And it was just him left. Jesus. And he got his 11 disciples. He had already done the feet water thing. See, that's what David had done in the Old Testament. And now he walks into this river with the burden of the sin of the world upon him. Where are you going, Jesus? I am taking these 11 to the brook. Where is the 12th? He will be forever known as the Iscariot, the betrayer. What are you doing? I am putting them all right here at the brook Kidron. If you would have stood by that brook, you would have seen the great men of all go by there. Asa would have been screaming as he went by, said, I started in my house. Revival broke out. Hezekiah would have gone by and he would have said, I started at the temple and in Jerusalem. And he would have gone by and revival broke out. Josiah would have said, I've cleaned the whole nation at the brook Kidron also. And revival broke out. David would have said, no, I didn't throw anything in there. I threw myself at his mercy. And I brought all the people with tears at this river. And Jesus now is retracing those steps. There are four ways in which he could have gone. He didn't. He went straight up that river. And when he got there, they stood there and something was happening to them. Jesus was going up Mount Olive, just like David did. And he was going to kneel down right there. He was going to sweat blood, if you remember. He was going to be praying for you and me, for all of us. He wasn't going to celebrate the Passover. He was going to be the Passover himself. That's what all these guys were driving at, all these kings. And when Jesus did this, these men will never be the same again. They will still falter from time to time, but they became the disciples. Powerful indeed, powerful in might. We still have the book of Acts chapter 2 and the Holy Spirit falling upon them, but the transformation had already started. We still had the runaways and the struggles at the cross, but they were already hooked by God, and he was at the brook. When you look for revival in your own family, start with your heart. Don't try to convince your children or your grandchildren or everyone around. Get into the brook yourself. John Wesley said it this way, quoting someone else. If I set myself on fire, many will come from many places to see me burn. What he meant was, if we are on fire for God, this will start a fire somewhere else. The Brook Kidron. It will be the special place where he will start his revival. Jesus, the Son of God, will visit the place. Follow the steps of Asa and realize God wants our houses to be dedicated to him. Follow the ideas of Hezekiah saying, the temple belongs to you, O God. Can't have nothing in this temple that doesn't please you. Run after Josiah, who commits himself so much to God that God honors him. And ultimately stand like David in the middle of the brook yourself. What was the idea? When they burned the idols and they threw the ashes in there, it will be washed away, never to be seen again. Something powerful was happening. I ask you, brothers and sisters, to stir up the gift that is within you. And I'll stir up the gift that is within me. There is power in the house of God and those who love him, those who live for him. Raw and struggling at times, weak-minded at times, struggling in our walk at times, even our faith gets challenged from time to time. And yet sometimes running, sometimes walking, sometimes dragging ourselves, we're still coming at him. Let me say it this way. I've been through every nation that I want to be at. And I got to tell you this. I seen what the Muslims do and the things that they worship. I will stack Islam against Christianity anytime you want. And I got to tell you something. We got something infinitely more power. The real God, the real power, the awesomeness of who he is. Christ died and resurrected at the third day. The Brook Kidron is still alive today. I've gone to the Buddhist nation. In fact, recently I was there and I seen what they worship and what they have and all these things about your mind and your spirit and all that and the chanting and all of that. They can do whatever they want. I know it's not politically correct to tell you this. I don't care. Jesus is the only God and the only answer, not just for us here, but for them over there. They need Christ. Nothing will take away the sin of men. I've been through the Hindu nations, and I got to tell you something. They have 300 million gods. So whenever you tell them, you know, Jesus, they go, okay, 300 million and one. I'm good. You know, it's okay. And all of a sudden, you understand. No, it's not 300 million and one. No, there's only one. You either choose him or you got nothing. He's not an addition to your life. He's not one more trophy, one more thing you can call out to. You call to 15 things and you call, then you call to him. No, the Bible says, I am the way, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but through me. We have to make peace with that. See, right now the nation is trying to create all the path. I call it the Oprah path. Everybody goes to heaven. No. No, it's not because I'm mean. I wish that was true. But it's not. It's not. Through Christ alone. They asked a famous preacher not too long ago, if he believed that Christ was the only way. And he said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the platform or the audience that he has, but I can tell you one thing. I do know that one. Christ alone. That's it. If you cannot say that Christ is the only way, you're not even a Christian. It's only one path. Why do you think that they killed the disciples? All of them died violent death because they were going and applying and saying, well, let's be a little, let's be a little bit about, Baal worship a little bit with these guys and a little bit with these other guys. They never did that. They say Christ alone, take it or leave it. Let us go back to that kind of word. Let us go back to the basics of Christianity. As we approach the end times, my time is up. Already saw the sign. As we approach the end times, there is this drumbeat of so many religions that are knocking at our door. Things that I thought were passed away are just coming back. There's also this proliferation of so many doctrines that are not in the Bible. I am sorry, but there are a lot of things in the internet that I know for a fact they're not in the Bible. We are creating all kinds of doctrines where men is the center stage and the center subject of the whole thing. Where in the world did you have that? There's only one name given upon men, and it's not any of our names. It's the name of Christ Jesus, who sits upon the throne. Revival is necessary today as it was in those days. We need to deal with all this stuff, but let me say it this way. We have a whole fight with abortion and a whole fight with homosexuality and transgenderism. And that fight is a good fight. I believe it. I'm a part of that fight, especially inside the church. But that's not going to bring revival. That's going to help them. That's not going to help you. What's going to help us is a broken heart and a contrite spirit in his presence. It's learning what we are to him. It's approaching him at the brook and say, I bring me and my house. I bring my temple to you. I bring my neighborhood, my church, my nation. I bring myself like David. And Jesus will say, I will bring you through the brook. You will go up Mount Olive with a broken heart. But you will conquer whatever I throw at you. See, Jesus came down from that, a prisoner. But he became the deliverer of the universe. May God allow you and I to have that kind of revival. Give us that in this group of people who is in this church right here. And the whole nation will burn with the burning of God in the heart. Give us what we have here in our own hearts, and the household will begin to feel the weight of the Holy Spirit in our houses. May God allow us to be great in his kingdom. God bless you.
What a great, great word. I just love when he comes to speak, because not only does he tie just stories together, he breaks them down in such a way that it just convicts my spirit. It convicts my heart, and I hope he did that to you too, in the a just and loving way, of course. Thank you, Brother Oscar. It's always a joy to have you. And I just want to read Psalms 51:17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So let us not just judge people out there, but judge our own hearts and judge our own homes. What he says, the fire starts within us, right? And just like you have a matchstick, when you light candles on a birthday cake, you match one and you light them all, right? You light them all on fire. So it has to start with us. We can only change us. So thank you, Pastor Oscar. I'm going to close us in prayer. And if you do have anything that you want to pray, we have pastors at the end of service that are going to pray with you. You guys can just come up front. But I'm just going to close this now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Pastor Oscar that comes to us. And we love when he comes to us and just brings your word and brings conviction in the most amazing, beautiful way so that we can really just meditate on the word, meditate on our own life and what we are doing and how we are serving you and how we are being a light and being that fire as we go out into the world and minister to others, that we are not being hypocrites, but we are just being in alignment with you. We are being who you have called us to be so that we can be a reflection of Jesus's love to others. Lord, we just ask that you allow us to depart now today and just take us home safely and help us to meditate on the word that we received today, that we would just use it and apply it in our life, that we would first look in our own homes first in the areas that we are not in alignment with you, that we would get right with you, that we would be on our knees and just pray to you for forgiveness, for repentance, that we can get ourselves right so that we can help others, so that we can walk in truth and in love and walk in a right and justful way that you have called us to. Lord, we just ask that you bless each and every person that is here today. Bless those that are watching online. We just ask that you continue to walk and go before us and just continue to allow us to just be your light in the world that's growing evidently darker and darker as the days go by, that we are still your matchsticks. We are still your light bearers. And we just thank you and we praise you and surrender these things to you. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Online members, we just thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next week. Hopefully you can come into service. And congregation, again, if you guys have prayer, please come to the front. We have our pastors that will pray with you. Other than that, you guys have a blessed week. I will see you guys in about a month, but everybody else will see you next week. You guys have a blessed day. Aloha.